Well, welcome everybody, visitor or not visitor. We are so grateful that you are here today. And listen, baptism here at Engage Church, as long as you profess faith in Jesus, you can be baptized. And so if there's anybody who is in here today that would be bold enough to want to get baptized at the end of service, I will go put my clothes back on. Unfortunate for you, you won't have clothes to put on. But I am more than happy to have a conversation with you and to baptize you, because this is something that takes your faith to the next level. And this morning, we're going to get into Romans chapter 6, if you'd like to get your Bibles open and ready for that as I get things going here. Maybe. Caleb, you might have to launch this and run it for me, bud. All right. Is that the first slide? Okay, thank you. Technology is good when it works, amen. Do I sound like the mic is super hot? Like, is it almost piercing out there for you? Yes, no, some, yes. It almost sounds bad up here. If we can look into what's happening, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm super hyped up today and I'm talking loud. Listen, it's easy for those of us who've been around church for any length of time to take for granted, or maybe even, if you would, lose the wonder of what just took place here today. Seven baptisms, and maybe you're visiting today, and you don't really understand why they just got baptized. And you know what? If you think of that from a perspective of knowing nothing about the church, I can understand why it would seem a little weird that you would come into a church to watch a friend or a family member get dunked in water in a church and not have any understanding of why. And this is what we're going to talk about today, and the Lord brought this back in front of me so clearly this week as I was preparing this sermon and preparing the things for the baptism. And what happened here today, I need you to understand, is a really big deal. Let's get an amen in the room. This was a very big deal. Listen, I like to have a lot of excitement build up. I need you to be active participants, okay? Otherwise, it sounds like I'm not preaching. So what happened here was a very, very big deal. Seven people who surrendered their lives to Jesus decided that today was the day that they would publicly declare that he is their Lord, he is their Savior, and that their lives now belong to him. And I say amen. If you have your Bible this morning, would you open it to Romans chapter 6? And while you turn there, just so if you don't have understanding of what baptism is, I say this in our baptism class. If you look at my wedding ring, what does my wedding ring tell you? That I'm married, right? Is this my marriage? No. So far, we're two for dude, Deb. We're doing really good. Is this my spouse? No. So this is just simply an outward symbol that shows other people that I am married. If I take this off, does this make me any less married? No. So it is literally a symbol that I belong to somebody else. In the same way, water baptism is a symbol designed by God to identify a person as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Water baptism is an outward sign of an inward experience. If you have your Bibles, open it there to Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Caleb, next slide, please. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How could we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again, and death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Sorry. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So Paul knew, when you look at this passage and the context around it, Paul knew that people were twisting his message about grace. They were basically saying, if God's grace covers our sin, then can't we just keep sinning? Then why not just keep living in sin? But Paul says that that completely misses the point of what this is. Because grace doesn't give us permission to keep living the old life of sin. Jesus, we have been given a new life. We are a new creation. And Paul uses this picture that we just witnessed this morning of baptism to show what that means. We die with Christ, we are raised with Christ, and now we are called to live like we belong to Christ. Are you with me this morning? So the first thing I'd like to point out to you today is, next slide, Caleb. The old life died. The old life died. Look at verse 6 again. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Paul isn't saying that the moment that you give your life to Jesus, you never struggle with sin again. Christians in here, did that happen for you? You never struggled with sin again. No, not a person raised their hand. Because why? I'm a human being. I make mistakes. I have a sinful nature. It doesn't mean that we never struggle with sin again. There will be temptations. There will be battles that you have to face. In fact, last week and the week before, we talked about the battles that some of you are walking through right now. And there are still moments that we will fail and still need the grace of God and the forgiveness of God in our lives. But something changes, folks. Something changes when we surrender our lives to him. And I love what Mindy said. I've been a Christian my whole life, but I've never submitted my life fully to him. That is in a nutshell. By getting baptized, we are saying we are fully surrendered. Because he doesn't just forgive us sin and then leave us enslaved to it. Do you know that this morning? It is not his desire for you to stay in sin. It is not his desire for you to be stuck where you're at. It's not his desire for you to keep struggling with the same old, same old. No, he doesn't leave us enslaved to it. He gives us the ability to step out of it, to walk away from it, and to walk more towards him. When our eyes are fixed on him, sin, it doesn't have the majesty that it once had. It doesn't have the pull on us that we once desired. No, instead, all of a sudden, he's the only thing that I desire. He's the only thing that I want. And now we can walk away free from sin because that's what the Spirit of Jesus Christ does. I'm hyped up this morning, I'm sorry. Paul says that before Christ, guess what? Sin was your master. Before Christ, we were enslaved to sin. Therefore, sin was our master. It shaped what we chased. It shaped who we were. It shaped what we desired. And ultimately, it shaped how we lived. And that's true for every single one of us in here today. We've all sinned. Every single one of us. If you think you're a seasoned saint and you've never sinned, I'm sorry to tell you, you have not. You are a sinner just like the rest of us. We've all sinned. We've all chosen our way instead of God's way. And none of us, not a single one of us, can free ourselves from that on our own. Because sin was our master, is our master. And that, church, is why we need Jesus. When Jesus saves us, he doesn't just forgive our sin. He breaks its authority over us. He breaks it, snaps it, gets rid of it. And that's what we saw pictured this morning in the baptism tank. Seven people whose the sin that had authority over them snapped because they're walking in the relationship with Jesus Christ. Therefore, when they were put under the water, the old life is buried because sin isn't our master anymore. Sin is no longer our master. Guess what? Your past doesn't define you. Everybody say that out loud. Your past doesn't define you. Your past does not define you. The old life is buried. The past doesn't define you. It doesn't even own you anymore. And now all of a sudden you get to walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ because now you've surrendered and you are in His presence. This week, next slide please. Last week I threw some lines out that people wanted to write down and I repeated it like 3, 4, 5 times. I even had somebody come to my house on my back porch and say, okay, give it to me again, Pastor. And so I figured this week it'd be easier if I just put them up here for you. Jesus didn't save us so that we could make peace with the life that He died to set us free from. Absorb that for a minute. Take that in. Jesus didn't save us so that we could make peace, be okay with the life that He died to set us free from. I see a couple people taking pictures of it now. Everyone got it? And thankfully, that's only half of the picture because Jesus didn't just come to put His old life to death. He came to give us a new life. He didn't just come to die. He came to bring us into new life. Next slide, please. Church, you were raised to live a new life. You were raised to a new life. Let me say it the right way this time. You were raised to a new life. Did Jesus stay in the grave? No. So if He didn't stay in the grave, that means He took our sin to the cross and died the death that we deserve. But guess what happened on the third day? He rose and He walked right out of that grave. And He defeated sin and He defeated death for eternity because of the work that He did. He walked out of that tomb alive, and because Jesus Christ is alive, He offers us something that we could never give ourselves. You ready? Forgiveness of our sins. Who in here can forgive themselves of their sins? Anybody? No? Because we can't. We can't forgive ourselves of our sins. Freedom, it gives us freedom from its power. And it restored a relationship with God. And we received a completely new life in Him when we step into a relationship with Him. And that's what we saw pictured this morning. They went underneath the water, identifying with His death and burial. But they didn't stay there long, did they? They didn't stay there long. They came back up. And guess what? When they came back up, they were raised to life. And I think this is where we sometimes misunderstand what it means to follow Jesus. Because Christianity isn't about taking the old version of yourself and cleaning it up a bit. I was going to say something, but I probably would have gotten in trouble for it, so I don't want to do it. Anybody ever seen a wrecked car? Like, it's just all beat up, right? Everybody, right? If I were to take a polish mat and polish one panel of that car, do I have a new car? Well, why not? Because it's still a wrecked car, right? It's still destroyed. So we can't clean ourselves up. We can't take the old version of ourselves and switch these few things around, do these things differently, try this. Jesus didn't come to make bad people behave better. Jesus did not come to make bad people behave better or to make us more religious. He came so that people who were dead in sin could be made alive in Him. So you are not trapped in your situation. If you are not a Christian this morning, I hope that you're as fired up about this sermon as I am, and the Lord is doing something radical in your life right now because it is Him and Him alone who gives us new life. And that's why Paul says we are supposed to walk in newness of life. Following Jesus should actually change the way that we live. Following Jesus should change the way that we live. It should affect the way that we treat people. It should affect what we pursue. It should affect how we forgive. It should affect what matters to us. Because guess what? Our lives don't belong to us anymore. Isn't that a radical thought? We've been raised to be independent and learn how to do things and to provide for ourselves. We become our own, do we not? We are our own. We are our own person. But when we step into a relationship with Jesus, we don't belong to us anymore. We belong to Him. And we don't live differently because we're trying to earn God's love. And I know somebody needs to hear that this morning, because there is a time that I needed to hear that. You don't live differently because you're trying to earn God's love or somehow be good enough for Him. It is not possible for you to live good enough, to be good enough, to make enough good choices. We live differently because Jesus has already saved us, and the life that we're living now belongs to Him. You cannot do this on your own. Next slide. Putting pressure on my boy. Next slide, please, bud. Okay, perfect. Here's the next line if you'd like to write that down or take a picture. Jesus didn't just save us from something. He saved us for something. Jesus didn't just save us from something. Saved us for something. He died to set us free from the old life. And He was raised so that we could be raised to a new one. And if Jesus has given us this new life, every one of us has to ask whether the life that we're living actually reflects what Jesus has done in us. Let me repeat that. And if Jesus has given us this new life, then every one of us must answer the question of whether the life we're living actually reflects what Jesus has done in us. Next slide, please. And here's the thing. Now live like you're alive. Now live like you're alive. What does that mean? Paul isn't telling us to try really hard. Paul is not saying, if you read any of that and you've heard, I need to go try harder to make yourself alive to God, you heard it wrong. Because the only one who can make us alive to God is Jesus. And He's telling us to live according to what Jesus has already done and who He has made us to be. And I think this is where Romans 6 gets uncomfortable for all of us. Not just for some of us, for all of us, myself included. Because we can say that we belong to Jesus while still reaching back for the things that belong to us in our old life. Anybody dabbled before? Does anybody want to admit to dabbling in the old life? Anybody? I will. I dabbled. We can say that we belong to Jesus while still reaching back for things that belong to the old life. And that's a warning for us today, because we can return to old attitudes. We can return to old habits. We can carry bitterness. Have you ever met a bitter Christian? I've been a bitter Christian. What about you? Let's rephrase that, because I know first everybody thought of somebody else, so let's put it back on ourselves. I've been a bitter Christian. How many of us have ever carried unforgiveness? Come on. How many of us have carried unforgiveness? How many of us hold on to hidden sin? Don't raise your hand for that. I don't want to know. We can talk offline. How many of us will even continue carrying shame over the things that Jesus has already forgiven? I've done some stupid stuff in my day. And if it was laid bare, I would be embarrassed and I would be ashamed. Does anybody recognize that? Would say the same thing? But Jesus has already forgiven it. So why are you letting Satan have that lead to control you in your life, when Jesus has already set you free from it? He's already forgiven you. But listen, church, if you belong to Jesus, you don't have to keep living like the person you were before Him. You don't have to. That doesn't mean the battle with sin disappears, because there will still be temptation. I was going to say something else, Deb, but I think I'll wait and share it with your husband offline and see if it was appropriate or not. And there will still be moments when we stumble. Listen, let's just be honest. Did anyone stumble this week? Wow, only like 7 of us. I think we need to take a lesson from everybody else here, Dave. Listen, it's okay because we do stumble. We do struggle with the sin. We do struggle with things. But here's the thing. There's still a need to repent and receive God's forgiveness. It's not repent and do better. It's not repent, try harder, do more. It's repent and receive God's forgiveness. But there's a difference between fighting sin and surrendering to it. Because if you are in Christ, the old life isn't who you are anymore. And if it is who you are anymore, then I would submit to you, you have not been found in Christ. Sorry. You are alive to God in Jesus Christ, and the life that you live should now reflect what Jesus has done in you. And I heard somebody say this. You might want to write this down because it caught me off guard and I thought it was funny. I heard somebody say recently that as Christians, we need to quit walking around looking like we've been baptized in pickle juice. I almost got an image of a baptism tank with pickles in it. Now, I know that sounds a little bit ridiculous. It sounds funny, but there is some truth in it. If Jesus has forgiven us, if Jesus has set us free, if Jesus Christ has given us hope, if Jesus Christ has raised us to a new life, there ought to be some evidence of that in our life. And I'm not saying that everything is going to be easy. I'm not saying that Christians have to pretend that everything is great. But of all people who walk the earth, because we have a reason for joy, because Jesus is alive. And guess what? We are alive in Him. So get rid of the pickle juice and let the Holy Spirit pour some water on you. So the question of puts in front of every one of us this morning is this. Am I living like I have been raised to new life? Am I living like I have been raised to new life? Next slide, please. What we witnessed this morning in baptism is a picture of what Jesus wants to do for every single one of us. Maybe you're sitting out there and you're not really sure where you stand with Jesus this morning. Maybe you're mad at Him. Maybe some things have gone wrong in life. Listen, He wants to do what you saw happen to every single one of us. He wants to raise us to new life. The old life, it dies. When we come out of that water, we are raised to new life. And then we learn to live like we've been raised to life. And that's why one of our spiritual movements here at Engage Church is to be transformed. Following Jesus isn't about making a decision and then going back to life as usual. Who knows that that is just a recipe for disaster? A recipe to get in an infinite loop. Nothing changes. Follow Jesus and then go back to life as usual. Follow Jesus, go back to life as usual. Maybe your life keeps doing the same things because you've never actually surrendered your life to Jesus. Jesus changes us from the inside out, and that transformation should become visible in the way that we live, in the way that we love, in the way that we forgive, and the way that we treat the people around us. Last slide, Caleb. Stacy, if you want to go ahead and come on up. And that, church, is how we at Engage Church fulfill our mission of engaging our community for Jesus. It is a life being transformed for Jesus, by Jesus, and it becomes a life that points other people toward Jesus. So yes, today we celebrate 7 people who were baptized, 7 people who said, yes, we are in agreement and we want to have public declaration of our faith in Jesus. But even more than that, listen, are we all listening? We celebrate the Jesus who saved them. The Jesus who is transforming them, that's who we worship this morning. And the Jesus who offers that same new life to every single person in this room this morning. Would you stand to your feet with me? I'm just going to ask you in this moment to just bow your head, close your eyes, just because I don't want people feeling like eyes are on them if they respond this morning. So if you could, just don't fall asleep standing on your feet, but hear me. Maybe as you've listened this morning, you've realized that you've never actually experienced the new life that I've been talking about this morning. See, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's the invitation that Jesus puts in front of you this morning. That's the invitation that he has towards you today. Here's the good news. You don't have to clean up first. If you've ever seen our church shirts, it says, come as you are. Because Jesus receives you just as you are. You don't have to have everything figured out. You come to Jesus. You believe that he died and rose again for you. You turn from your old life and surrender your life to him. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and that you know that you need to surrender your life to Jesus, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you by name. I'm not going to call you out. But I do want to know who I'm praying with this morning. So if that is your heart, if the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you this morning, would you simply just raise your hand right where you are? Is there anybody? Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else? Come on. Praise the Lord. Come on. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else? You can go ahead and put your hands down. If you raised your hand this morning, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know in your heart that you need Jesus, I want you to pray this with me. So church, can we pray together? And just understand this, the words that we're going to say are meaningless if we don't mean them. These words don't have some mystical power that changes everything in your life. It is, does this come from your heart, or is this performative? And if it's from your heart, you have nothing to worry about. Let's pray. Jesus, I know that I have sinned and I need you. I believe that you died for me. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. Forgive me of my sin. I turn from my old life and I surrender my life to you. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. Give me new life and help me to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, we had 5 people raise their hands this morning for salvation. For the 5 of you that raised your hands, if you don't have a Bible, I have one for you. Please see me after service or see my beautiful wife. She can help you get that Bible. And listen, if you don't have a church, hi, it's us. We're Engaged Church. We love everybody. So before we leave this morning, I want to give you an opportunity for everybody, because some of us are Christians in here. And maybe we didn't need to say that prayer, but maybe there's something else that still remains. And so everybody gets a chance to respond personally this morning to what the Lord maybe has spoken to you. Maybe Romans 6 got to the heart of something in your life. There's something from the old life that you keep reaching back for. Something that you've been struggling to surrender, to give up, to honor him. Or an area where you know the life you're living doesn't reflect the new life that Jesus has given you. If that's you this morning, there is no judgment. There's not a single person who's going to pass judgment on you. I want to invite you to come this morning. Church, the altars are open. You may come from a church that doesn't do altar calls. We do, because there's something powerful that happens when we come to the altar and we lay it out before the Lord. And people lay their hands and they pray and they lift you up. So this morning, come and bring it to Jesus Christ. Maybe your prayer this morning is simply, Jesus, I don't want to keep going back to what you died to set me free from. Please keep transforming me. Help me live like I've been raised to real life. Church, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, don't ignore him. Come to the altar. From your presence, but Lord, it's just a departing of the building. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would go forth with us. Lord, that you would touch every life that is represented here today, that you would touch the mind and the heart and the soul. Father, you know everything that each one of us is going through. You know the struggles that we have, the things that we face, and Lord, I pray that we would sense your presence with us every step of the way. Father, I pray that you would do a miraculous work that would forever change lives. That this isn't just a show, but Lord, it is your power working through the lives of people who surrender to you. And Father, this morning, with that song, Lord, it's all yours, and I am a child of God. In Jesus' precious name, amen.